Morning, everybody. Good to see you. Good morning. My name is Tori. Yep, one of the pastors here. Would love to meet you if I haven't. Today, we are going to hear a lot of God's Word. Anyone a little bit excited about that? A lot of the Word. His Word is where His Word changes us. His Word is powerful. And we're going to hear the Word of God this morning. Actually, all of 1 John. But before we get there, I want to talk to you a little bit about how we got there. If you remember, several months ago, we gleaned from John, the Apostle John, in his letter to the churches in Asia Minor. We looked at Revelation 1, 2, and 3, mostly chapters 2 and 3 of these letters to the churches. And in those letters, we learned a lot. And just to remind you of a few things, we learned that there is a lot more to life than just meets the eye. We learned that the true health of a church is not necessarily based on the numbers or outward appearance or even the reputation of what people say about the church, but what Jesus has to say about his church. We learned that if you want to be where Jesus is, be in his church because he walks among his church. We learned to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, and much more. And so we glean from the Apostle John in these letters to the churches in Asia Minor. And then, not knowing that we were going to do this, we continued to glean from John in the Gospel of John, and specifically learning more and just sitting at the feet of God, the great I Am, and that Jesus, the God-man, is the great I Am. We learned that he is the bread of life, the light of the world, the door. He said, I am the great shepherd, the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life. And then the last of the I Am statements Jesus said is that I am the vine. I am the true vine. And we are the branches connected to him. And then John, once again, we're going to glean from John once again in his letters to house churches in 1 John, partly because if we want to know what it means to abide in Jesus together, what does it look like for a church to abide in the vine, to abide in Christ? John uses this word abide over 22 times in the short 5 chapters of 1 John. And so we want to abide in Christ, not just individually, but as a church. And John has a lot to say about that. We're going to hear these 5 chapters of 1 John read to us, and I want you to keep in mind a few things as we hear it. One is, he's teaching us to abide, what it looks like to abide in Christ. He's teaching us what it looks like to have assurance of faith, even when at the time people were leaving the church that they thought were believers and teaching a different Jesus. And so he's assuring them of their faith in Christ, even in the midst of that turmoil. We're gonna glean from John in the letters to 1 John, knowing that this is a poetic sermon. 1 John is a poetic sermon to grow our faith, to abide in Christ. And you're gonna notice there's something, you might not know that it's called this, I didn't, but he uses this style called amplification in this poetic sermon. And what that means is he continues to bring up the same themes over and over again. He'll talk about, and some of those themes we have in the artwork represented here, like light and love and obedience and truth, and there's a few more, but he'll continue to return to those themes again and again and again and go deeper and deeper into them. And so I wanted to point out just for a second as well, do we have the artwork, Silas? We don't? Oh. Well, that's odd. Next week, you're going to see there's the artwork. Yep. All good. I was going to paint a picture for you, you know? Thanks. Here's the artwork. We had Paul Gordon, our executive director, both of Terra Troy and of the Terra network of Terra Troy and Terra Saratoga. He was kind enough to do the artwork for 1 John when Saratoga went through this series. And these themes of love and light, obedience and truth, we see represented on the bottom there. You're going to notice, maybe you'll notice, if you want to count them, there's actually 42 hearts in this artwork, and those hearts represent the number of times that the word love, right, the theme of love is used throughout 1 John, 42 times throughout it. Another element of the artwork for us is the fact that the hearts are coming down on strings of light. That's inspired by the 19th century poet Christina Rossetti, who, if you were ever wondering where did the idea come with the inspiration for the song Love Came Down at Christmas, it's through Christina Rossetti as she was contemplating 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Just fun fact for you there, represented. And then finally, as we kind of can glean from this artwork for 1 John, each of the four main themes of love, light, obedience, and truth are represented by the four different shades of gold hearts in the artwork there. Okay. So, abiding in Jesus. What does that look like for us as a church? And as we hear this letter of 1 John, this poetic sermon read to us, I hope what this looks like for us is a church that will begin to more and more abide in truth, in love, in light, in obedience, in honesty, in vulnerability, in knowing that we have far more in Christ than we've ever lost or ever will lose. It will look like rejecting every lie the world throws at us or even within the church, and embracing the truth, embracing Jesus. These are some of the ways that John will talk about abiding in Christ. And so what I'd like for us to do, I'm going to pray, and then you can thank afterwards our readers for this morning that will be going through one chapter at a time. We're going to read nice and slowly, starting in chapter 1, and we'll do one chapter at a time with a different reader for each, and I'll call them up as they read it. But let me pray first. Father, thank you for your word that we're about to hear. Lord, we want to be a church that abides in you, that's connected to you. Apart from you, we can do nothing. God, John loves abiding in you, thinking about what that means and working through that. God, give us that heart as well. We want to know you deeper. We want to know you more. God, help us as our theme for the year is obedience to our Lord, that we would hear these words and that you would connect them to the places in our lives that we're not being obedient, that we're not following you. And God, would you help us as he returns to these themes, these important themes of love and light and obedience and truth, that we would truly go deeper in each of these important themes in life, God. Help us love deeper. Help us walk in greater vulnerability and transparency. Help us look more like Jesus in how we live in obedience to you, Lord. Help us know the truth, your truth that sets us free. Protect us, God, from the countless lies that come our way. You've said, Jesus, that your word sanctifies. And so we believe that, we receive that. Speak to us through your word, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. So we're going to start with Nancy Williams, going to come up and read 1 John chapter 1. Feel free to take notes if you'd like, or close your eyes and listen, or however you'd like to do it. Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you. Good morning, Tara. This is 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest. We have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie. We do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Nancy. Now we have Nancy Schwartz. She's going to come up and read chapter 2 for us. Thank you, Nancy.
Good morning. My little children, I am writing these things to you. So that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. And children of God, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him.
Thank you, Nancy. Chapter 3 will be read by Daniel Lewis.
Have a heavy Bible. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but what we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because of his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments and abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us.
Thanks, Daniel. We have Silas Dubois for chapter 4.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God, God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has not been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love God does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of this world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love of God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. by this love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because he is so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen, For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God for whom he has not seen. And his commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother.
And then 1 John chapter 5 will be read by Wu Lin.
Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because his Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has a testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the Son, the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life to those who commit sins that do not lead to death. There is sin that leads to death. I do not say that we should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord, your word is alive and active. And we need it, Father. We need it more than we need even food. God, would you lead and shape and guide our church as we steep deeper and deeper into this letter, into this poetic sermon, into your words. God, you know what we need. You know each one of us. You know those, Lord, that aren't yet here pursuing you, but will be in the coming weeks and months, and what they need. Father, grow our assurance for all of us who know you, who are connected or abiding in you, Jesus. Convict us, Lord, where we're not obeying your commands. Convict us, Lord, for any of us who have not yet made that decision to give you our life. Protect us, God, from the power of the enemy that would love to divide us, confuse us, keep us afraid and bitter and angry. Lord, we want to go with you deeper, deeper into love, deeper into your light, deeper into obedience, deeper into your truth. Forgive us, God, in the ways that we think we have those figured out, that we don't think we need to hear more about it. Give us humility, Lord. And we pray truly that we would be a church that goes deeper into these things. We pray, Lord, come close. Do what only you can do. Shepherd us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.